As the two time-traveling barbarians, TIE Fighter and T-Bone, emerged from the temporal vortex, the stench of burning embers and the eerie silence of a deserted landscape greeted them. March 1980 had been anything but welcoming, but their hearts were heavy with a more pressing matter. Their honorable seer, Freya, had been snatched by the vile clutches of the warlord known only as Kutchek. With grim determinations embedded on their rugged, muscular faces, they set forth into the barren desolation. The only possible clues to her whereabouts had to lie somewhere deep within the jilted section of Hyronia known only as the Barter Guild. Hyronia, once a bustling metropolis, now lay in ruins, a testament to the unforgiving passage of time and the horrors of a post-apocalyptic world. TIE Fighter and T-Bone navigated through the rubble-strewn streets, their eyes scanning every shadow for signs of danger or hope. Amidst the decay, whispers of Gutchek's tyranny echoed from within a tavern known as the Rusty Trombone. With adrenaline fueling their every step, TIE Fighter and T-Bone pushed open the creaking doors of the decrepit hydration station. The air thick with the scent of stale ale and sorrow. The flickering petrol lamps revealed a scene of absolute woebegone and misery. The lone tapper wiping down the bar, and a solitary, mysterious, mustachioed regular nursing a drink in the corner, eyes darting suspiciously between the newcomers and the shadows lurking beyond. Approaching the barkeep with a sense of urgency, T-Bone demanded information of Frere's whereabouts, his booming voice shaking the scabby walls. The bartender, eyes wide open with fear and pantaloons filled with shite, hesitated before nodding towards the tattered poster plastered on the wall behind the barfly. For it was a crude drawing of Gutchek's fortress, accompanied by a hastily scrawled message. Bring to me the dolls of the Shortcake Realm. The harlot's life depends on it. TIE Fighter and T-Bone exchanged a vexed glance before setting off once more into the night, satchels full of aromatic figurines and their path illuminated by the flickering light of the petrol lamps. Within steps of leaving the Rusty Trombone, a vortex opened, and once again our heroes were sucked in time. Find out what high adventure awaits on this episode of TIE Barbarians in Time!
It's April 1980. Welcome to another edition of Time Barbarians in Time. Today we are discussing April 1980. Big month. Big month. This is the juicy, we're getting into the juice.
The juice of the
80s, which you got to be careful when you're messing with the juice of the 80s, because they don't have pills to take care of that yet. Or do they? I don't know. We shall find out on this little latest excursion of Time Barbarians in Time. Blew that. April 1980. All right, yeah. So we're back. I am one of the hosts, TIE Fighter.
This is T-Bone.
And yeah, today we're going to talk about April 1980. And like I said, pretty big month for TV, movies, news, sports. There's a lot cooking in this month. So I guess we'll just start peeling back the layers and digging in. So what do you got for us?
That's right. Let's start off with some little TV news.
Yes.
So on April 7th, 1980, NBC broadcast a live drama titled The Oldest Living Graduate, the first time since 1962 that they had aired a live drama. I guess like a stage
show
that they just...
On
April 9th, the Madison Square Garden Sports Network is officially renamed the USA Network.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's why wrestling was always on USA. I did not know that. That's so cool.
The NFL draft is broadcast for the first time in history on ESPN on April 29th.
Nice.
TV shows debuting in April 1980 include Top Rank Boxing on ESPN.
Love it.
Which is still around.
Yes.
Actually. I know it's at least on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
And a late night live comedy show titled Fridays on ABC, which ran for 3 seasons.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about this. I'd never heard of any of the cast members except for Larry David and Michael Richards.
Yes. Okay. So I have a little tidbit on that. I don't know how much of a Andy Kaufman fan that you are, but first off, the show was not, they were trying to like rival SNL. Right. So like Saturday Night Live was huge. That was like when you had like the not ready for primetime players. I mean, you have like the heavy hitters like Bill Murray's and like Chevy Chase and like Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi and Gilda Radner and, you know, Garrett Morris and like all of these just like, you know, insanely talented people. And I'm sure I'm missing a few. So long story short, Kaufman kind of got in a little bit of trouble, I believe, over his intergender wrestling. Uh-huh. And he said that he was going to put it to a vote. Whether people wanted him to stay on Saturday Night Live or if he wanted to be kicked off and never to be seen again. And he really, in his heart, thought that they weren't going to really kick him off the audience. But it turns out that they did kick him off. And they were like, did not want him to come back because he was hated so much. So he jumps over to Fridays and he's doing a skit with Michael Richards. And I don't know who else is in that cast. And it's just complete garbage. Like, it is like, I don't even remember like what this, the kind of like the plot of the script was, but it was something like they're like a waiter and like everybody's high and nobody knows it. And I guess like Kaufman had a really big problem of like playing stoned because he was just like kind of anti-drug. Mm-hmm. And so he was just like, I didn't want to do it. Long story short, they're in the middle of the skit, and he just, like, stops dead and goes, this is bullshit. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing this. And he just, like, this is so stupid. This is the stupidest show I've ever been on. And this, like, completely goes off script. And this is live TV.
Right.
And so, like, I guess Michael Richards just got, like, so pissed off, and they were, like, had almost, like, a brawl because Kaufman was just, like, looking in the cameras going, this is shit. Like, this show sucks. Like, I mean, so that's the only thing that I really know about Fridays is the little bit with Kaufman. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's got to be on YouTube. Go check it out. And if you don't know anything about Andy Kaufman, please do yourself a huge favor and go educate yourself. What a guy. What a guy was so ahead of his time. And to this day, people still think, like, did he or did he not fake his own death? Because he does, like, people that look like him show up in random places. And he had so many, like, alter egos, too, like Tony right. Clifton and what was the guy from Taxi? I don't remember what his name was. But anyway, so it's so crazy, that whole story. But, yeah, so if you're listening, Andy Kaufman, we would like you to come on the show. We will not make you play stoned. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that debuted in April. On April 5th, Hawaii Five-0 aired its season finale after 12 seasons on CBS. The final episode of Hello, Larry aired on April 30th. It was a sitcom starring McLean Stevenson that aired for 2 seasons on NBC. Premiering on CBS on April 15th was Guyana Tragedy, the story of Jim Jones. A miniseries about cult leader Jim Jones and the Jonestown mass murder / suicide in 1978. Jim Jones was played by Powers Booth.
Wow.
And other actors in the cast include heavy hitters such as Ned Superman Beatty,
yes,
James Earl Darth Vader Jones, Randy
Macho Man Savage,
Randy Quaid.
Okay.
Brad Chucky Dorif.
What?
LeVar Burton. What's his name on Star Trek?
I totally Geordi.
Yeah, Geordi. Veronica Alien Cartwright.
What?
And Diane, actress Ladd.
Golly. You know what? I miss the TV miniseries. Like, growing up, like, that was such a thing. Like,
big in the 80s.
Was huge, yeah, in the 80s. We had, like, Shogun with, like, Richard Harris, mm-hmm, and the Thornbirds. And we had, like, what was another one? Roots. Roots, yeah, was huge. Yeah. Oh, V. V was also a miniseries like that. And golly, that's something they need to bring back. Like, I think they've lost the generation that was into miniseries, because now it's just like, let's just pump it out on Netflix. Like, you know what I mean? Like, drop all the episodes one at a time. Right. But like, I don't know. Like, I miss like getting excited for TV again. Like, that was like must see TV.
Yeah.
You know, because it was one of those things too. Right? I didn't mean to, but like, once they aired, you like rarely ever saw it again. You know what I mean? Like, they just went away, so you could not afford to miss. They didn't replay it. It was like one and done,
yeah,
you know, unless they got like a VHS release, which was probably years later. But anyway, so, wow. Miniseries.
Movies that were released in April of 1980 include The Gambler, starring Kenny Rogers, on April 7th.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other movies I've never heard of, including Baltimore Bullet, Health, North Sea Hijack, Bad Timing, The Private Eyes, Death Watch, and Heartbeat.
Ooh, I think Heartbeats was with Andy Kaufman as well. I think it's an Andy Kaufman centric episode. I also have a couple of movies that were released that you may or may not have heard of. The Roger Corman classic, Humanoids from the Deep. Mm. The awesome 80s action thriller, Kill or Be Killed. The martial arts movie. Private Eyes with Don Knotts and Tim Conway. Did you ever see that?
I didn't.
Oh, the Wookalar is like one of the greatest monster movies or movie monsters of all time. Check that one out. And then is it Kajimusha from Kurosawa,
mm-hmm,
was also released during that time. And do you have anything else on the Oscars? Because I have one little bit on the Oscars.
I do have some Oscars.
Okay. Okay. So I will save my juicy, yeah, nug for that.
Yeah, not a big month for movies, like in a historical sense or
but,
cultural, pop culture sense.
Yeah, but wait a month,
yeah,
because it explodes.
Yeah,
wait a month.
So the number one film in the USA for the first week and a half of April was Little Darlings, a comedy drama film starring Tatum O'Neal and Christy McNichol.
I believe we've talked about that because that was the one where they're at summer camp, and they're also played by 12-year-old girls, like literally. And the idea is the girl has to lose her virginity. Like, that was like the, I think Kevin Dillon, or not Kevin, but Matt Dillon, I think, is in that as well. But anyway, so I think we've talked about that.
The rest of the month, number one film again was Kramer versus Kramer, which by now had been in theaters for over 4 months.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen that, but after we've talked about this, like,
yeah,
it comes up a lot.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes me want to check it out.
So, yeah, I guess the big movie news this month is the 52nd Annual Academy Awards, which took place on April 14th. And Kramer versus Kramer cleaned up. They won Best Film, Best Director for Robert Benton, Best Actor Dustin Hoffman, Best Supporting Actress Meryl Streep, and Best Adapted Screenplay. Sally Field won Best Actress for Norma Rae. And All That Jazz won for Best Original Score, Film Editing, Art Direction, and Costume Design. Best Sound and Best Cinematography were awarded to Apocalypse Now. And the Best Visual Effects Oscar went to Alien.
Yes, but Kramer versus Kramer over Apocalypse Now? Let's just hold that. Let's back that U-boat up. That's insane. Wow. I have to see Kramer versus Kramer. You've sold me. If it's a better movie than Apocalypse Now, then I'm in it. I'm into it. So isn't this also the Sally Field, the famous, you love me. You really love me. Was it that Oscars that she won, or is that another one?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that was my little bit on the Oscars, the Sally Field win.
Well, before we move on to music, do you have any other TV or movie news for us?
Yeah, I do, actually. This doesn't really have anything to do with TV yet, but it will. Because in April of 1980, there was a young, aspiring writer and cartoonist who was unknown at the time by the name of Matt Groening. And Groening first published the comic strip Life in Hell. And it appeared the very first week in the Los Angeles Reader. Groening's strip attracted the attention of TV producer James L. Brooks, who asked Groening to adapt his comic strip characters to animation for segments of Brooks's production, The Tracy Ullman Show, in 1987. And then rather than use the cartoon rabbits in the strip, he decided, plus he also wanted to keep the copyright on that. So that's another reason why he changed it, because he was afraid of, like, oh, if I sell this in, like, I'll never get my characters back. So he adapted them to humans. I just remember that as I'm reading this. But anyway, he sketched out different sets of characters that would be featured in starting in 1990 on a fully animated comedy, The Simpsons. So he got his very first cartoon published, Life in Hell.
Yes. And we'll get to The Simpsons in several dozen episodes.
Yes.
All right, let's talk a little bit about music. On April 1st, Brian Johnson has made the new lead singer of AC/DC.
Yes.
Following the death of Bon Scott.
R.I.P.
R.E.M. plays their very first show on April 5th, but they did not go by the name R.E.M. until a performance later in the month. On April 13th, after 3,388 performances, Grease closes on Broadway, making it the longest-running Broadway show at that time. Iron Maiden releases their debut album on April 14th, titled Iron Maiden.
Yeah, still a great album. Still holds up.
On April 25th, Black Sabbath releases Heaven and Hell, their first album with Ronnie James Dio on the vocals.
And I may be in the minority here, but I'm sorry, Dio was a better vocalist.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yes. I love that era Sabbath way more than I love the Ozzy era. So,
other albums released in April include British Steel by Judas Priest, Dolly 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 by Dolly Parton, 17 Seconds by The Cure, Go to Heaven by Grateful Dead, and The Golden Years by Motorhead.
Oh my God.
Some hit singles in April 1980 include Funky Town by Lips Inc.
Still in the disco. All that metal, and we're still prancing around.
Against the Wind by Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Can't Stop the Music by The Village People, Coming Up by Paul McCartney, Cruisin' by Smokey Robinson, and She's Out of My Life by Michael Jackson.
Nice.
Do you have any other music tidbits you want to talk about?
The only other thing I think that might be worth mentioning, on April 22nd, a young hotshot disc jockey by the name of Howard Stern began broadcasting in Detroit, Michigan on WWW. So, yes, all you Stern fanatics, there you go. We didn't forget you.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some politics and current events. On April 1st, the U.S. Census began, which is done every 10 years. At this time, there are officially 226,545,805 people living in the United States. I think we're well over 350 now.
I was going to say.
Also on the 1st is a transit strike in New York City, which would last for 11 days. On April 7th, the U.S. imposed economic sanctions on Iran in light of the Iranian hostage crisis, which has been going on for months now.
Yes, that was a huge thing. I've read so much on that, and I don't fully understand. Like, I really don't. Like, I know I'm an idiot, but and I talk about it on the air. But anyway, yeah, it's so super interesting. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things, I guess you had to be there for it to understand, like, why that was such a big deal. I mean, I understand why, but, like, I don't know.
So far, that's the theme of 1980 is Kramer versus Kramer and Iran. Iranian hostage crisis.
Exactly.
A mass immigration of Cubans into the United States begins on April 15th and would last until October 31st. About 125,000 Cubans and 25,000 Haitians made their way into the U.S. during this time.
Yes.
Going back to Iran, Operation Eagle Claw occurred on April 24th to 25th, which was a military operation to rescue the American embassy hostages in Iran. It was one of Delta Force's very first operations, but was aborted after numerous problems, including a helicopter crash, which killed 8 service members.
Hmm.
There is another operation later in the year, which we'll probably talk about briefly, but I do want to mention in that one, because it's so cool. They took a C-130, you know, those huge military airplanes.
Yeah.
And they modified it so it could land in a football stadium.
What?
And take off from the football stadium.
No way.
Yeah. That was not this operation, but the one coming up in a few months.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that.
That's awesome.
I just wanted to mention that because that's so cool.
Yeah, they A-teamed it. I love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. The Pennsylvania lottery scandal occurred on April 24th, which was a scam orchestrated by the actual announcer at the lottery and 8 other people. A number of balls for the drawing were weighted, making sure the unweighted numbers 4 and 6 were more likely to be drawn. Not only were lottery tickets purchased from authorized retailers, the individuals involved in the scam also made bets with illegal lottery bookmakers. The overall jackpot was $3.5 million, $1.18 million of which was won by the perpetrators of the scam. Authorities were tipped off when a suspiciously large number of tickets bearing combinations of the numbers 4 and 6 were sold. And they ended up tracking everyone down and arresting them. And once everyone had been caught, the lottery announcer and mastermind named Nick Perry ended up serving 2 years in prison, and a few other people pled guilty in exchange for lighter sentences, and a couple people avoided jail time by testifying against everyone else.
Wow.
The winning, you want to know what the winning ticket number was?
What was it?
666.
No way.
Yep.
Shut the front door. Was that the rigged numbers or the real numbers?
They rigged it so the numbers 4 and 6
were more
likely to come
out. Oh, okay, okay, okay.
So they went out and bought all the different combinations of 4 and 6.
4 and 6.
Like 4, 4, 6 and gotcha, 4, 6, gotcha, 4. Gotcha. And yeah, the one that came up was 666. Six, six.
Oh, the delicious. I guess that's not really irony. The awesome coincidence right. that is. That's amazing.
all right, before we get into sports, do you have any other news events you want to talk about?
Yeah, a little bit. This is back over at our good friends up in Boston. The Boston television station, what is it? I got bad eyes. WNAC-TV aired a fake news bulletin at the end of the 6 o'clock news, which purported that the Great Blue Hill in Milton, Massachusetts had become an erupting volcano. And they presented a report complete with film of flowing lava, burning houses, and edited remarks from President Jimmy Carter and Governor Edward J. King. Although intended to be an April Fool's Day joke, the fake news bulletin on Channel 7 was believed by many of the residents of Milton, and the city's police department received more than 100 calls from panicked viewers. The executive producer of the 6 o'clock news, Homer Sillery, was fined by WNAC station for his failure to exercise good news judgment and for violating federal communication rules about showing stock footage without identifying it.
Worth
as
it.
Such.
Totally worth it.
I just love the nativity of people back then. They would see that. But, you know, speaking of, like, I was wondering, because jumping ahead a little bit, Mount St. Helens is about to erupt.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were, like, a little bit of a, like, a feathered, like, state just because of, you know, people were watching that or kind of knew that it was like smoking and like whatever. So that's what they went with because of already the panic in the air about Mount St. Helens. But yeah, I thought that one was awesome, like totally worth it. And then the other little bit of news that I have is Post-it notes, not invented by Romy and Michelle, but it was invented by 3M scientist Spencer Silva and promoter Art Fry. It went on sale for the very first time in the United States as a product of the 3M company in 1978. The product had been test marketed. They weren't called Post-it notes. They were called Press and Peels. Mm. So there you go. Post-it notes, something I use every single day of my life.
All right, I got a quick, interesting little sports tidbit for you.
Yes.
The 1980 Boston Marathon was on April 21st. The female winner was a woman named Rosie Ruiz.
Mm, I remember this.
But she was stripped of the title 8 days later when it was revealed she cheated by jumping onto the course a half mile before the finish line.
Yes.
I guess they were kind of suspicious for some reason, so they went back and looked at the videotapes, and they couldn't find her anywhere until like the last 800 meters.
Yeah. I think also what tipped him off too is she said when she crossed the finish line, she wasn't even sweating. She was like bone dry and like not even out of breath.
The actual winner of the marathon in the female category was Jacqueline Guerreau.
Okay.
So she got the rightful prize. Did you have any other sports tidbits?
Oh, I do. The very first United States Women's World Bodybuilding Championship was held in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the traditional site for the Miss America beauty pageant. So I like it how they just rammed it right up the ass of Miss America. All these beefy women came in. There was 30 competitors.
They weren't even that beefy back then.
Yeah, they really weren't. Not yet. But it was hosted by the Caesars Boardwalk Regency Hotel, Rachel McClish, mm-hmm. I guess, of Harlington, Texas. Harlingen, Texas was the winner of the very first contest. So we doffed our hats to you, or tip our hats to you, Rachel.
She
McLish.
She's the main bodybuilder in Pumping Iron 2.
Ah, you have never seen that. I've never seen it. I have the soundtrack. Yeah. I have the movie poster. Never seen the movie, but yeah. I also have. Before Bart Simpson used a picture of him to seduce Mrs. Krabappel, Gordie Howe scored his final National Hockey League career goal, which had opened on October 16th, 1946. Guy played hockey a long time. Started in 1946, 1980. My God, man, that's 34 years on the rink or the ice. That's got to be some type of like record because I just – you know, any more like professional athletes, if they get 10 years, like they're, you know, doing pretty good.
This was back when they like didn't wear helmets and all that stuff.
I know. But anyway, so yeah. So Gordie Howe scores his final goal. Yep, that's all I got.
All right. Well, I have a few births and deaths.
Yes.
But before we get into that, I do want to mention because we're starting to really get into the video game age here.
Yes.
So that's going to be coming up more and more. But in April of 1980, Atari released Atari Soccer and Monte Carlo into arcades.
Ooh.
So that's what's going on there. Some births. Got a couple here. Popular genre actress Katie Sackhoff is born on April 8th. Actress Jordana Brewster and supposed heartthrob Channing Tatum.
Yes.
Born on April 26th.
What a body.
Got a beautiful body,
Got
man.
A beautiful body. Wow. Look at that back.
Like a road map. All right, some deaths.
Oh, I got one more.
Okay, birth. Go ahead.
American WWE professional wrestling champion Randy RKO, the legend killer Orton, was also born in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Nice. That's one thing that's depressing about looking at all these births is seeing all these successful people who are way younger than us.
Yes.
And we're making a podcast in my garage for 100 people. Anyway.
But we love you, 100 people out there. Share this podcast with one friend.
Let's talk about some deaths to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, here's a good one. I mean, not a good one, but big one. Genius / abusive film director Alfred Hitchcock dies at the age of 80 on April 29th.
Oh, wow.
1980. I don't know when his last movie was.
I don't know.
He went pretty far in his life doing directing and stuff.
Right? Yeah. I wonder if he was doing the TV show then, because I remember that being just growing up being on TV.
Yeah. Catherine Kennicott Davis died on April 20th at the age of 87. She was a musician and composer of over 600 pieces of music, most of which we never heard of, but we do know her most well-known work, which is The Little Drummer Boy.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Rump-a-pom-pom.
That's her claim to fame. I got one more death here. Antonio Rocco Caponigro was a consigliere in the Philadelphia mob.
Mm.
He was found dead in the trunk of his car, or the trunk of a car, at the age of 68 on April 18th. And I'd never heard of him, but I'm only mentioning him because I thought his mob name was really funny. He also went by the name of Tony Bananas.
Is the greatest mob name of all time.
R.I.P. Tony Bananas, April 18th, 1980.
We're pouring out one for you.
Yeah, did you come across any deaths?
Nothing that I thought was kind of stuck out.
Well, that was April 1980 in a nutshell in the U.S. We obviously didn't cover everything, but this is just to give you like a little taste of what was going on.
Yeah, sorry, Swedes. We got nothing for you. But yeah, so this is a quick month. This is a good one. We didn't stay in April 1980 for too long. We have to get back because we got to figure out what the next part of the saga and the next part of our quest shall be. But
I'm pushing the coordinates here on our time machine.
Yes, but I have definitely a good feeling about what's coming up in May of 1980.
Should be a good month.
This should be a great month. So, until next time, TIE Fighter.
This is T-Bone.
And we'll see you in time!